This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
Not the pretty bad ones, not like the mediocre ideas.
The worst.
The worst. The bottom of the barrel ideas from
well,
the internet.
Well, it's the internet, so like medium barrel.
Right.
Like not like the big barrel that's been sitting in the back for a while there. Like, The barrels are relatively fresh, is all I'm saying.
There are buckets of bad ideas on there.
Well, here to dive into these barrels for you, we are the No Bad Ideas team. My name is Gabriel Urbina.
My name is Sarah Shackett.
And I'm Zach Valenti.
Oh, yeah. And we are here to do another one of our patented storytelling game shows. In case anyone is listening for the first time, Zach, do you want to walk our new listeners through what we do here at Shay Bad Ideas?
Absolutely. So on this show, one of us every single week takes a terrible idea from the internet, pitches it to the other two, who then have to spin a yarn, take that idea and go off to the races and develop it into a movie, a comic book series, a television program, whatever fits this idea. And we have just 30 minutes to do that. It is a writerly exercise that keeps us fresh, keeps us honest, keeps us humble. And I'm terrified for what you have for us today, Gabrielle.
I mean, why would you be terrified, Zach?
You're Mr. Burnhands and the red light coming from behind your eyes.
no idea why you're so terrified. But anyway.
Let's get on with the terror then.
All right. So this week I have a story from the Strange News section of NPR.
Oh, lovely.
Dear listeners, if you would like to read along with this idea, you can look at the episode description and there will be a link there that you can follow. Two quick caveats before we begin.
Ooh.
This. One is that I'm not going to read this entire article because it is quite lengthy and goes into a lot of kind of like, here's another interesting case of something like this happening. And
gotcha.
We don't need all of that.
Great.
But just know that there's a lot more out there if you listen to this and you're curious to hear more tales. And second, I want to challenge you guys, Zach and Sarah,
okay,
to really, like, I would really encourage you to only use this as a jumping off point. Like, don't feel the need to be shackled to what really happens in this case. And feel free to just kind of, like, take it
okay
into, like, beyond the real events.
Now I'm scared.
All
go
right
ahead.
Okay. So the title, the headline is, when not reading the fine print can cost you your soul.
Oh, I saw this article making the rounds, yeah.
All right. Well, get ready.
I didn't read it, though. So,
I haven't read it. I'm excited for this. What on earth
did I
give Apple?
Well, you're about to find out. Nobody reads the fine print, but maybe they should. Georgia high school teacher Donalyn Andrews won a $10,000 reward after she closely read the terms and conditions that came with a travel insurance policy she purchased for a trip to England. Squaremouth, a Florida insurance company, had inserted language promising a reward to the first person who emailed the company. We understand most customers don't actually read contracts or documentation when buying something, but we know the importance of doing so, the company said. We created the Top Secret Pays to Read campaign in an effort to highlight the importance of reading policy documentation from start to finish. Not every company is so generous, though. To demonstrate the importance of reading the fine print, many companies don't give. They take. The mischievous clauses tend to pop up from time to time, usually from, surprising no one, England. In 2017, 22,000 people who signed up for free Wi-Fi inadvertently agreed to 1,000 hours of community service, including cleaning toilets and relieving sewer blockages, The Guardian reported. The company, Manchester-based Purple, said it inserted the clause in its agreement to illustrate the lack of consumer awareness of what they're signing up to when they access free Wi-Fi. A few years earlier, several Londoners agreed, presumably inadvertently, to give away their oldest child in exchange for Wi-Fi access.
Man, when you need to send an email,
you gotta send that email.
You know,
it's one expensive email.
This is why internet should be a utility. Anyway, continue.
Before they could get on the internet, users had to check a box agreeing to assign their firstborn child to us for the duration of eternity. According to The Guardian, six people signed up, but the company providing the Wi-Fi said the clause likely wouldn't be enforceable in a court of law. It is contrary to the public policy to sell children in return for free services, the company explained.
Not according to the mayor of Casterbridge. Continue.
And on April's Fool's 2010, the British retailer GameStation inserted a new clause into its license agreement with a checkbox already ticked. If users didn't uncheck the box, they agreed to grant GameStation a non-transferable option to claim, for now and forevermore, your eternal soul. GameStation said that if it chose to exercise the soul transfer, it would serve notice in 6-foot-high letters of fire. Luckily, GameStation offered a way to get out of the clause. If you A, do not believe you have the immortal soul, B, have already given it to another party, or C, do not wish to grant us such a license, please click the link below to nullify the subclause and proceed with your transaction. Those who did click the link were rewarded with a voucher. This is where I'm going to stop. It continues on to more funny things that people have put in, like
in terms and conditions.
Wow.
But I think that I want to see what you guys can do. 6-foot
letters of fire.
Yeah, to
pretty,
like an hour.
It's a pretty good place to detail. Cap. Yeah.
Okay, so let me start up the timer, and you have 30 minutes to pitch a good story based on all of this madness. Starting now.
Can I just say, I love the, like, England surprising no one with the ridiculous with their litigious
like goofs inside contracts.
And with their, like, you know, snarky content.
I suppose this could go a couple different ways. I, of course, started thinking about the Screwtype letters and sort of young demons on the make in the 21st century.
Yeah, can we get like 50 words or less primer on what the Screwtape letters are.
The Screwtape letters are an epistolary novel by C.S. Lewis, who also wrote the Narnia books. They are a very funny satire, a series of correspondence between a young demon trying to corrupt their first human and Wormwood and Screwtape, his uncle, who's giving him advice about how to do that.
And who's kind of like a more experienced demon who's been around the block a couple of times.
It's a comedy of manners, so to speak, about two demons trying to corrupt a person.
And a lot of kind of like, oh, Wormwood, you think you've got him, but like, no.
This is what people do when they actually are doing when they dress up nice for church.
Humans are so unpredictable and so changeable, but soon you learn what they actually mean.
What was the word? What kind of novel?
Epistolary, so like an exchange of letters.
You learn something new every day.
It's really funny and fun and timeless in a way that is unflattering to all of us.
And as much as a lot of C.S. Lewis, I think, kind of suffers sometimes from his very proselytizing nature.
Yes.
I think that is one that, like, in spite of the fact that it is very clearly a Christian text, it holds up as just
universal.
Right.
And by leaning into sort of the theologic angle of it, that, you know, this is a very Christian conception of cosmology, it actually helps it in a way that, you know, some of the other allegorical works that he did suffer a little bit. But anyway, tangent over. So we could do sort of young demons on the make trying to buy souls in the 21st century
at GameStop, right?
The other option is that someone realizes that either they have inadvertently sold their soul or that, like, Google is actually in the business of collecting souls and like trying to raise the alarm about it, and like people don't really care because you know, you need your Wi-Fi, man.
Right. Maybe what are we going to do? Stop using Gmail? No.
Yeah, no.
Come on.
So convenient.
Come on.
So those are the directions that call out to me. Is anything else call out to you, Zach?
Oof. I really like the like tech giant is just in it for the souls. like data's a clever ruse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I believe that about Peter Thiel.
I mean.
You heard it here first.
I can't disagree. PayPal. I'm just thinking what details like really stuck out to me.
I liked the cheekiest one of that list is where people inadvertently agreed to community service, like really unpleasant community service.
Right, including unclogging toilets
and stuff,
like,
yeah.
Getting
like
rid
there's,
of, like, sewer
there's
blockages.
There's definitely something there of like, you know, maybe someone is trying to change the world for the better. And so like the only way to like get people, you know, to be more environmentally sound or to, you know, stop doing something that's harmful is to like sneak it into terms and conditions for like a really an Angry Birds style
game,
or something.
Candy Crush now.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to the new Beyonce album, click these terms and conditions, you know.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, you agreed to carpool more. Like, there's maybe something there.
Right. The sort of like three cases that were presented were you accidentally sign up for 1,000 hours of community service.
Right. You sell your firstborn.
Your firstborn.
Or your eternal soul.
We have an option on your eternal soul. And if we ever take it, we will tell you about it by 6-foot-tall
flames. Letters of fire. Mm-hmm. But you can opt out if your soul is already optioned elsewhere.
Right. Or you don't believe in souls.
I thought that one was really funny. And then there's the other option of like someone finds something in a terms and conditions that's like actually a reward.
Sort
of
golden ticket style.
Yeah, or what was Ready Player One? Like they find
I need to read that and watch that.
The secret clue or whatever that makes them the master of the universe or however that goes.
You know what could be funny? Someone reads these terms and conditions, and as a reward for that, whatever the company is, like the prize instead of a cash prize is the soul from another person that they collected in another transaction. And so the person that did read them is like, wait, what do I want with another person?
What do I do with that?
And the company's like, you'll figure it out. Souls have all kinds of uses.
Going to a Beetlejuice place.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, then it becomes like an unseen servant. Ugh. Mm. Yeah.
Of the things that we've said so far, I think I'm mostly interested in the like Google and Facebook are just in it for the souls.
Mm-hmm.
And
someone figures it out and tries to raise the alarm about it.
Yeah, that like we're not actually living in the technological world we're living in. We're actually living in like the gods and demons world of old. And you know, the greatest trick the devil
or the modern expression there.
Yeah, they're sort of American God style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And these massive international corporations that are, you know, turning people into products are like doing so on a more fundamental, like cosmological level.
Sure.
Right. And like, you know, you find out that like the person that runs Google right now is actually just like the, you know, the latest incarnation of whatever evil trickster god or whatever.
Or it's like, you know, like
the Morning Star. Yeah.
Right. Seven demons leave hell and they have a bet around the water cooler about which one of them can get more souls in less time.
Oh, that's funny.
I like that.
That
yeah.
I like.
And so, you know, you have like every time you check into Foursquare, it's like, got one. You know, every time you like leave a Google Plus review, like, got one.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you tweet.
I see.
Interesting. And like, so if we're setting this story now in, you know, 2018, 2019, they've eaten up like a lot of souls and the well is starting to maybe get a little bit dry there.
Right. Like literally the hardest thing right now is getting internet in parts of the world where it's not. And the person who's most winning at that is Mark Zuckerberg in real life. And in those places, the internet is Facebook. Like, mm-hmm. that's what you see when you log into your web browser. And that's crazy because it's not the internet. It's just an app. But
the alternative thing that could be interesting was if instead of being like demons or angels, mm-hmm. the techno corporation giant is kind of like a faction in and of itself.
Sure.
And both like the forces of good and the forces of evil are kind of being like, wait a minute, no, we thought that these guys were like with you. And they're like, no, like I thought we're an agent for your side.
That's funny.
And all of a sudden it's like they're doing the math. It's like, well, hang on a second. Like, you know, like heaven and the angels, they have like 31% of the souls. And like, you know, the demons have like, you know, however many.
Sure.
But these guys have actually like majority shareholders of souls in the world right now.
It's like the dark horse of soul collectors.
Right.
Oh man.
They're just like email, man. People gotta have their email.
Amazon now. It's an addictive thing.
Wow.
There's like a funny Dogma style movie that's from the perspective of like the supernatural beings who are navigating this, but maybe what would help us narrow things down is like to figure out who our protagonist is. Is it like a young lawyer who just got this sweet corporate job? Is it like a enterprising programmer, or just someone like the woman in the first story who like actually bothers one day to read the
terms and conditions?
My concern with the programmer is it's going to be a typing movie, which is always fun. It can be done, but it's a challenge.
Spoilers, it's never fun.
It's never fun.
I liked Hackers enough.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you're right. Mr. Robot does not have a ton of... Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's fair.
So, like, it's, like, doable, but I'm worried about it. And so I'm like... And part of me thinks that it may just be more fun to go the full-on good place and, like, be friends with the demon.
Mm-hmm.
Or demons that are, like, dealing with this. But there's also something fun about, like, being with the lowly human that, like, win somebody else's soul or whatever. You know, like there's something in that direction as well.
You are 10 minutes into your time, by the way.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
This is the problem with this show, is that now that we've done this like a bunch of times, the level of panic that I have when I hear the 10 minutes are gone.
Yeah.
I can take 5 minutes off the timer if you want. Like I can put you guys down to 15. would that help? Would that be better?
No.
All right. Well, fortunately, that conversation ate up another minute, so that should be enough of a handicap to get you.
Cool. Let's actually do the thing.
Well, so let's tease this out. So, like, let's say the protagonist was sort of the what was his name? Do you remember in the 1980s was that movie that was like The Secret to Success?
Oh yeah. Secret of My Success with like Michael J. Fox was it?
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know.
He's just like a young up and comer in like the corporate world, and he's, you know, like getting mixed up with the boss's wife, like, and having all these
like peppy
hijinks.
Like
a how to succeed in business without really trying.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Exactly. Think Will Success Spoil Rock Hudson kind of a dude
done
too.
Done.
Yeah, like yeah, I wonder yeah, if yeah. there's like the soul collector version of that.
Oh, sure.
Who then like has to realize that what they're doing is like terrible at some point. And they're like, they're on this like meteoric upswing, and they're like, they keep, you know, meeting the bigger boss and getting the raise and getting all these things they thought they wanted.
The problem is that Sorry to Bother You exists.
I know.
Right, but I was going to say like that, like then you're almost kind of like in like a John Grisham novel. Then it's kind of like The Firm. Yeah. Where it's
like, this is a question that I have is how, like, you know, on the scale of like cartoonally to like actually diabolical evil is our evil tech conglomerate. Like, you know, is it Michael from The Good Place, or is it like an actual demon?
Right. Like, are we talking about what was that 1999 movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger that was just so bad? It was amazing. He plays
End of Days.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just killing it today.
You are, man. I haven't
so
seen
good.
That.
I think I have it on DVD.
Nice.
It's so stupid. It's so good. Gross and dumb.
Yeah. You don't want to be within 50 feet of this movie, Sarah.
It's really not good. But,
I did see
it caught me at the right time, which is an interesting counterpoint, right? Because like you have
actually,
the more serious, like, you know, sort of horror angle,
sure.
or you have the more hilarious comedy angle. I think that you'll have to hit this microwave once because my default setting is silly. If we want to go serious,
Here's a question that I'll throw into the mix that might help to kind of land matters a little bit more. What do souls do?
Oh, sure.
Like,
oh,
kind man. Of like, you know, like I get Ooh. I get a soul, you know, Bob sells me his soul.
Right.
Is Small it, questions.
I know. But like within the fiction of the world.
The fiction of the world. And that would sort of get us to like maybe like an interesting counterpoint to like what tech does in our lives. Right.
Right.
So, you know, it could be that souls provide, you know, the energy for these supernatural beings to keep going. Or it could be that souls.
But what is signing it over then? Take away from the person.
Just, you know, I mean, it could take away, like, you know, your ability to reincarnate or to like participate in the universe after you stop being a human.
Right. There's kind of like a world where it's like what you are signing over is your soul's right of mobility.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when you die, normally your soul would go on to whatever awaits it. But if you sign it over to me, instead of going on to the great forever, it goes into my jar that I have.
Right.
It's the great AI.
Totally. And like, you know, and I can then like have it be like at the call center forever.
Yeah.
I could have
AI it. AI is enslaved souls.
Okay. Tell me more.
I have no more.
It's not an artificial intelligence. It's,
right. Right. Emphasis on the intelligence.
Yeah. Well, I guess the artificiality of it is that it's one thing, but really it's many, many like contained human.
Right.
But I mean, like technology in theory, like the sort of line is that we are more connected to each other, right? And are able to have agency and tools in our lives that we did not previously have at any point in human history.
Well said, halfway through.
Cool. So you could have a sort of world where like, part of what like makes connection meaningful and powerful is our souls, right?
Right.
Like that's, you know, our having a soul is what makes communication and connection valuable. Mm. And so like having souls would make the tech giant more powerful, but also without your soul, like your experience of the internet would be empty. In a way.
Maybe in life in general.
Yeah, like I think that now we're kind of closer to like Harry Potter, his dark material rules.
Yes,
of like
surprising no one.
That's funny.
But, you know, like if your soul is taken away from you, there's nothing that'll stop you from living. Like
right.
Your heart will beat, your brain will go.
Right, but you're not the same person.
But you're not,
but
the,
you're
same
not the same person.
Person. There's something, the you of it is the, gone.
Right.
This whole like set of scenes just like sort of flashed through my mind of I'm pulling another blank on this movie name. German film, tank their economy, lots of crowds of people sort of like lumbering along in lines.
Metropolis?
Yeah, I think so. Right?
Yes.
I
don't remember the economy tanking, but...
Well, I thought it was so expensive that it just like...
That's not entirely why Weimar Germany didn't work, but...
Right. But it was involved. It was like part of that period of time. Anyway.
I do not know this history.
Not a history podcast. Moving on. just like...
Also not a theology podcast. Right. This is very blasphemous.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
But I guess I was just thinking about like, you know, you could now set the story around like somebody who is just like burnt out and like going through the motions of their life.
Sure.
And they discover that like maybe the like the sort of missing flame in the world is because at some point in like 2004, most of us signed up for whatever service.
Yeah.
And we've all been soulless since, and like no wonder. But like, can somebody without a soul then be like motivated to like go on an adventure to reclaim their souls and return souls to the population?
I think for this exercise, yes, because also like it feels, you know, as someone who throws a lot of shade at the internet and tech, both on mic and off, it still feels a little facile to be like, the internet has taken away all of our souls, man.
Sure,
like,
right.
That's just, it's a little easy and it's a
really
little much.
On the nose. Yeah.
So, you know, even if this is a world where that is true, I think someone could go on a journey to reclaim their soul, or
sort of like a reverse, like, fellowship ring, sort of like, you know, we got to get it instead of get rid of it.
Let's put that aside for now.
I would. Sure.
I was gonna go back to, like, what is, like, the actual situation with our protagonist and their relationship with LaTeX company.
Great.
And
let's do it.
Whether they are simply a consumer or a part of the company. And I still like the idea of someone being gifted a soul, like someone else's random soul, mm-hmm. and not knowing what to do.
Right,
with
like
it.
That can be part of the benefits package when
they sign up. Yeah. You don't need HelloFresh.
You don't need Fiverr.
Yeah.
You have Jeremy.
Poor Jeremy.
Is there anything to, like, they get the job, like the opening of the film is like they get the job and, like, they've maybe been a user for a while.
Sure.
And have been soulless for a while. But now that they've gotten a job, they have a soul, but it's not their soul. It's somebody else's soul.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit worry free. Or, like, you know, it's like a little bit got that the vibes of
Sorry to Bother You. Sure.
Hell, you know what it could be? It could be, and, like, this is now going to go into, like, a very, like, Terry Gilliam place.
Love Terry Gilliam.
Kind of like it's a society where, like, you know, everyone at some point has, like, signed over their soul to this, like, corporation.
Right.
Like, you know, the only people that still have their souls are, like, oh man, like the uber rich. But,
sure,
because
you can buy you. There's a buyback clause.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you either, like, buy it back with your extreme affluence, or you work a certain amount of hours for, like, you know, the Big and Gulp Corporation.
Sure.
But, you know, and it's like Jeremy G. Johns has been working at this company for, like, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
to buy his soul back, and finally, like, the day comes and he gets it back, but there's been a filing error and he gets back the soul of Jeremy J. Johns, and he's like, no, hang on a second, this isn't my soul, and they're like, ah, close enough,
fine.
You
yeah.
know, like, and
go
so
over to information processing,
right?
Fill out
forms 27A, 42,
93, 27 Bistro 6 every
exactly,
time.
Exactly. Yeah, got to do it. Make sure that you turn it into the booth that only opens on Tuesday. But
right.
like
yeah.
you know, and so then it's about sort of like this guy having to figure out, like, what it means to have someone else's soul instead of his own soul.
Can he talk to it? How does
I don't
it work?
Know.
Yeah, I wonder. There's did either of you guys see Warm Bodies?
Mm-mm.
I don't know what that is.
Is it the zombie
it's
love story?
It's the zombie version of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, shit.
And the zombie are, when he eats brains, he can, like, get memories of the person. And so, like, there could be a thing sort of like that, where, like, if, you know, Jeremy G. Johns does something that Jeremy J. Johns liked, he gets a flash of Jeremy number two.
And, like, in my eternal quest to turn everything into the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, of course.
Maybe Jeremy J. Johns, the soul that he gets, he knows some secret,
right.
whether it is, you know, like, where some, like, giant cache of money is buried,
or
like
where the souls are.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But it's one of those, like, the soul can only access partial memories or some of the flashes. So,
yeah.
like, he needs to find the body and, like, reunite the soul
does
with
it become,
that body.
Does it potentially become a buddy film between this guy and this other guy's soul?
Are you saying that it's a buddy movie between this guy, between the soul and the body?
Oh, man.
Possibly.
Possibly,
Does this potentially go to... I don't remember the name of the movie, but the one where Steve Martin has two brains in one body.
I don't remember that movie.
I've never even heard of that movie. Wow.
Oh, man. It's so funny. I mean, he's just like, it's
there's also that, like, it's, I'm
acting.
Also thinking about, like, that. Oh, God. I forget the name of it. It's like that movie. It's that rom-com with Reese Witherspoon and Ruffalo where, like, he's a ghost.
Yeah.
Or no, she's a ghost and he moves into the apartment.
Correct.
Yeah, and I have I forget the title of it.
I never saw that, but I remember it.
Yeah.
But it might sort of be the situation where like they're now going on a quest and Jeremy J. Johns, the body, is the only one that can actually interact with the world around him.
Right.
But Jeremy G. Johns, the soul, is kind of there. Only Jeremy, our protagonist, can see the soul. And they kind of have to, like, you know, like, work out how to, like, go on this quest together. But they really don't get along.
Right.
Wow.
And so on and so forth.
And in this version of events, like, I think that we can't go full Harry Potter or his Dark Materials of, like, people who are soulless are devoid of personality and spark. And so, like, G. Johns needs to, like, have something that's in him.
Right. Yeah. What he might not have any memories before he lost his soul or before his soul was extracted. Like, it might be one of those things of, like, I'm now 28. I don't remember anything past when I was 19.
Sure.
Like, everything before then is a blank. I don't remember my parents. I don't remember where I came from.
How would they know that they got the wrong soul?
That's a very good question.
The other thing is that, like, sort of like Buffy vampire rules, right? Of, like, without a soul, you just are...
There's kind of no morality filter. Yeah, you're like all base impulse.
Yeah. And that takes different forms. Like, some people become more creatively evil and some people are more animalistic. But there's, you know, it could just mean that, like, you just don't have empathy.
Right.
Like,
right.
Without a soul, everybody's 4chan.
I like that to the extent that now you can have a movie where, like, the soul of... I forget GJ. Yeah. Whatever.
Even I think that I flipped it around a couple of times. Don't worry about it. Call it Body Jeremy and Soul Jeremy.
Right.
Yeah.
Soul Jeremy gets to teach
Body Jeremy
morality.
Yes.
I kind of dig that.
And it's like, right, like for a while, like, you know, but then would somebody without a soul want to work for their soul back?
I think that that's where it needs to be, like...
Oh, it was just in the contract and they didn't read it closely. Wait,
there's some reward, some monetary, tangible thing that Body Jeremy wants.
Right.
Even if it's just like, I don't know, like Soul Jeremy also knows where Body Jeremy's like mom's soul is, or just, you know, something
maybe,
like that.
Right, and right, maybe right. Soul Jeremy is lying about that.
Oh,
like maybe Soul Jeremy is like,
I'd love for Soul Jeremy to be a liar.
Right, like maybe Soul Jeremy is, fuck, I'm caught in this like good cop bad cop duo,
right?
Except the bad cop is the only one that can interact with the world and like be heard or seen in any way. I need to motivate this motherfucker to get his own soul back and like find where I'm at.
Right.
So he has to basically lie to Body Jeremy to motivate an animalistic, like sort of evil, soulless monster.
Yes.
Right.
To do the right thing.
And
basically,
like, animalistic, evil, soulless monster, just like he's a normal dude with a job.
Except I like the idea that like Body Jeremy is just like desperate to get to Vegas because he's got to get his shenanigans out, but he can't afford it because he doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
And then he gets a job at this giant tech company that in the fine print grants him one eternal soul as a corporate benefit that you cannot opt out of.
Right.
And he didn't read it closely because he's just in a rush to get to Vegas.
Gotta get to Vegas.
And then
why does he want to go to Vegas?
Because he's got
no
soul.
Go to Vegas?
He's got to do a bunch of things that you know don't want to talk about except in Vegas.
Okay.
I don't know.
You want to do some stuff and have it stay in Vegas.
Yeah.
So just, he's got a gambling addiction. Great.
Yeah, like he wants to get his CBG.
Yeah, I think that like this is one of those like 3 minutes, by the way.
Cool.
Just like replace Vegas with like hedonistic.
Sure.
He wants to do some soulless
stuff.
Like, yeah. Sort of like, you know, don't tell like, you know, polite society stuff.
Okay.
And in order to fund that needs to get a job. And the only place hiring is like the, you know, mega corporate tech company.
Big and
is
gold
just like
corporation.
All the tech companies rolled into one. And he just like signs too quickly to read that, like, you know, one of the benefits and requirements is you get a soul. Not your soul, just a soul. And then, you know, it's sort of like plays off of each other.
Okay, so I guess in the
two minutes and 17 seconds
we have remaining, how does it end? Does it end with the Jeremys finding whatever the material reward is, figuring out that the material reward was a lie? Does Soul Jeremy ever get his body back?
So that's a good question. Like, I feel like this kind of wants to end in like either a Fight Club place where like the world is burning, or like a spoilers, or the
that retroactive spoiler warning.
Love it. For a movie from
Brazil place where like, I don't want to spoil it because it's my favorite movie, but yeah, sort of just like, you know, sometimes the only reaction to a crazy world is to just go insane.
Right.
I'm less enamored of that, because I feel like, again, that's a little bit of an easy take. Just like the world's gone crazy and none of us have souls anymore, and shrug emoji.
Let's do better.
There may be something where like either the thing that Body Jeremy wants is a lie, and like the thing that Soul Jeremy wants doesn't exist anymore, and they, you know, can learn to live together and navigate this crazy, crazy world. That's sort of where my mind went.
I think that inevitably you need to get them to a place where Body Jeremy does something soulful of his own volition, and Soul Jeremy gives up an opportunity to like basically like be re-ensouled in his own body without leaving Body Jeremy in a bad position or something like that.
Right.
Like they both kind of need to give to
something,
something
what they want. And maybe, you know, sort of dollhouse style, end up sharing the same space but being distinct.
Right.
And that's
spoilers.
Well,
just spoiling everything
we're
left and right.
Spoiling all the things.
Yeah.
So
what was Rosebud anyway?
What?
No one's seen Kisses.
Oh, yeah, right. I was like, why are you going there? Oh, right, spoilers.
and that was time.
Great.
I used up our last 5 seconds very wisely. No, but I thought that got to like a good, solid place. Like, you guys like really built something very concrete there. And I think that like it really came a long way.
Yeah, if we had had... I shouldn't have made the joke about 5 more minutes, because if we had had 5 more minutes, uh-huh, we could have like worked uh-huh out what exactly
see?
They do. This is what I get for being arrogant.
All right, guys. We'll be right back with more No Bad Ideas Arrogance right after this.
There, beautiful listeners, it's Zach Valenti breaking in briefly into the episode to plug the brand spanking new Audio Fiction 101 online course from Fear of Public Shame Presents. Gabrielle, Sarah, and I have been locked in a basement for the last 5 months working our butts off to make the definitive How to Tell Stories in Audio course, where we just round up everything that we learned in the process of making Wolf 359 and Time Bombs, and just all of the things that we've learned from our collaborators in this beautiful community. And you can get it right now at audiofiction101.com. There's over 33 videos, over 3 hours of original content where we answer questions like how to create great characters, how to structure stories, how to lean into the strengths and lean away from the weaknesses of this great medium of podcasting and telling fiction stories in it. If you want to check it out, you can go to audiofiction101.com, where you will find not only the promo video, but some sample lessons, and can sign up today. Hope you check it out. Can't wait to see you inside. And now, back to the show.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to No Bad Ideas. Here for the back half for some more unstructured, kind of more free-flowing, whatever happens,
yeah,
happens.
Just conversation. Checking in with each other and talking about whatever is on our minds.
Although, hilariously, we're not going to leave bad ideas entirely behind.
Oh, yeah.
For this bonus back half. Because during the break, after we recorded the game show part of it, we kind of started talking and we eventually got to a point where we were just like, you know what,
we should just do this.
Turn on the microphones and record this as the bonus back half. And it's because we started talking about something that is, I think, something that we all have an intuitively grasp on, but that we realized that maybe we hadn't ever kind of like really checked in with each other. And that is, I'm really curious about how do you guys find the bad ideas that we use for,
and also like what makes a bad idea like what makes us excited to bring it to the show,
right? Like I'm less curious about like, oh, which websites do you go to, and more like, what is it about a bad idea that when you look at it you're kind of like, yes, that's the one, that's it,
right?
Or what makes you look at an idea and kind of go like,
maybe not
that one. So yeah, so like, are there certain things or certain like recurring things that you've noticed?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting mess going through Reddit, where
your Reddit education has been fascinating.
And you are the bravest amongst us for...
I feel like I've neglected it the most of all social networks because of my perception of it being accessible, but
shout out to all Redditors out there.
Though it's a fascinating network, and like, you know, just in a world where a giant tech company is going to become the internet, like if it's a choice between like Facebook and Reddit, I think Reddit's probably a better platform, but it's just weird to see like the collective human imagination emerge on that thing. But 9 times out of 10 you read this headline and you're like, oh my God, it's a blitz. And like I think
the blitz being the like 5-minute version of the game that we play for our patrons. Shout out Patreon peeps.
Seriously. But it's like, it's just enough ridiculousness and outrageousness to like justify a weird 5-minute ramble.
Right.
But it's not like there's not enough meat sort of on the bones of the idea. Like there's not enough weird details. There's not enough maybe even normal details to like ground a full length.
There are ideas that are too short. There are ideas that are too long. there are ideas that are a complete story. And so even if the headline, like I think for all of us, like the headline is what grabs us to be interested in an idea in the first place, right?
Yes.
But then, you know, I was looking at stuff for last week's episode, and there was a story, I think, in HuffPost about a scuba diver who got actually swallowed by a whale.
Whoa!
I think I saw this when I was looking up ideas today.
That's some biblical shit.
It is. And, like, man. He was swallowed by a whale, and the whale promptly spit him back out, and like someone captured it on a camera.
No way!
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, and like it's crazy, but also like I don't know what you do with that.
A movie, right?
Yeah, other than to do exactly what it says on the tin and have someone get swallowed by a whale.
Right.
And so like that, I looked at it and it was like, and ultimately put it aside because, you know, the art sting that I brought you guys last week was ultimately there was more room to maneuver with that.
Right. No. And that is an education of just like compare and contrast between two things that are both wild, both like very entertaining. Both you hear them and you go kind of like, what? Hang on a second. I got to like see what happened here. But one, there is kind of room to grow, and one, you're just kind of like, no, like you would just kind of like read the article aloud. Zach and I would look at each other and go like, yep,
that's pretty crazy.
That's a story.
Yep.
There's there's also like, I think a needle to thread around, like, so one, there's like, is there enough material here to develop something that feels rich and feels complete and is sort of like in the spirit of improv, like serving the people that are going to have to make something up properly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By just giving enough information. But then there's also the like, I don't know, like, I feel like we can all relate that, like, I don't know, I was in Whole Foods the other day and the guy's like, how are you? Like at the checkout. And I was like, honestly, I feel like I have nothing real to complain about in my personal life except for the news. And he was like, yeah, I feel you. And so, like, you know, going through things on the internet, it just, there's so much stuff that just like, this is too triggering. Like, I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want this to be on the show.
Sure.
And I can imagine that, like, the listeners wouldn't either. And so there is a non-zero amount of the firewall of like, oh, like, I can see how we could do something cool with this article, but like, this does not belong on the feed.
Yeah. No. And like, I think that, like, you know, I was seeing, for example, earlier today, when I was looking up a news story for the Blitz session that we're going to record after we're done with this, I was glancing at some Florida Man stories, and so many of those stories were interesting. And then the moment that you actually get into them, they involve a lot of, say, like, legislation about, like, you know, the state of Florida and about kind of, you know, like the going ons about the Republican Party and sort of specific things that they're trying to do. And while I stand by a lot of it is a bad idea, 100%, there is just like an element of like the tone would be so different. And we would, I think that instead of it feeling like we're having a fun time having a discussion, it would be much more like, all right, we're going to try to disarm this bomb. Like,
right.
Absolute silence, please. Scalpel, you know, like.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a careful balance between like apolitical, like, you know, just like family friendly, vaguely. I mean, you know, the penis play definitely stretched that a little bit. And I remember like coming to you guys and being like, so how do we feel about genitals? Like, is this like too much?
No, and we had a discussion before. Yeah.
And it's interesting that like we have those discussions as they come up, and like we didn't have a meeting.
Right.
Like before we started the show being like, okay, we're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about anything related to human sexuality. Like we're going to have a PG show. But we just are all sort of feeling out what feels right for like this particular exercise. And it doesn't mean that like we don't think creative works shouldn't be political or whatever, but like for this thing that we do, there's that. And I think it comes down to like any news story that feels like it's mean or that it's punching down in any way is like stuff that I want to avoid.
Or that is going to invite a story that is just going to be a polemic.
Yeah.
Like that is just going to end up being like, oh no, this is just going to be a mouthpiece about fuck
this idea,
this particular social group.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, fuck this party or fuck this group. It's like, I think that those are the ones that we sort of kind of go like, ugh.
There's just enough of that.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't leave you a ton of room to maneuver creatively as like a jumping off point.
Right. Yeah. I think all of that is absolutely spot on. I think that the other things that I look for are like, number one is someone making an active choice here. Like sort of like, can I like, or in other words, kind of like, can I like easily sort of like pinpoint the thing and kind of go like, that's a bad idea that somebody like had at a certain point. Like for example, like with that story about the guy that got swallowed up by the whale.
Yeah.
I would like that so much more if the headline was like, man picks fight with whale or something
man
like that.
Man breaking into aquarium tank is swallowed by whale.
Right,
because
exactly.
That's different than like, just like a dude was scuba diving.
And just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, there is a part of me that thinks that scuba diving is a bad idea, but...
But it's a little bit more, it's a little more diffuse. It's a little bit more amorphous. It takes a little bit longer to kind of be like, okay, one second. Like, what is the...
And I had another story that I was thinking about, which was very funny to read, is that in England, tech agro agriculture company has come up with what they're calling Tinder for cows.
I also saw this,
which is a great headline. But like, I read the article, it's like, oh no, this is just practical, and it's connecting farmers to each other so that they can buy livestock in a more informed way.
It sounds wild, and then you read the details, and you're like, this is actually just a remarkably good idea.
Yeah, no, this is actually this is actually fine. And I've had that happen too, where, you know, I'm looking at something and it's just like, oh no, this is actually smart. And so you want there to be like an active and very bad choice.
No, exactly. An active, very bad choice. And I think that the other thing that I try too, so I try to get active, very bad choices. I try to avoid things that could be in some way called like a mistake or an accident.
Hmm.
Although most bad ideas are obviously mistakes.
And some of them are accidents, yeah.
Yes. But if you go through a lot of these like strange news sections, there is a lot of kind of like, you know, man mistakes strange woman for wife, asks her for $50,000, hijinks ensues.
Right.
And you're kind of going like, oh man, like this is a wild story.
But
the kicking point was just like a guy kind of being like, oh, look, there's Michelle. Let me like go ask her for some stuff. Shit, you're not my wife. Oh, God. And I think that that is like so much harder to dramatize, because then you're kind of chained to the
misunderstanding.
To kind of like the specific flow of events that happened.
Yes.
Instead of kind of being able to have like, okay, so this one dude decided that he was going to scam a lady, and that you could set it, you know, 50,000 leagues under the sea or on the moon, and then it's easier to kind of like translate.
This is actually helpful, because I don't think I've been reading through the radar of, or like just looking through the lens of like, where is there a distinctly active bad choice? I think by accident, that's been like present in a lot of the ideas. I think more I'm looking for like, is there a clear bad idea in it? And is it something that makes me laugh out loud at the headline and then laugh harder in a more interesting way when I finish the
article? And that's like the intuitive version of that. Yeah. Is that like, and you know, for me, I am, all of these considerations are like under the surface of me reading the idea. Like, I don't know that I am always conscious that this is what's going on, but it's what's going on.
Yeah. I think that it's more like, once, for me, I think that it's kind of like you read it intuitively, and once you're kind of like, ooh, I think that this is a good candidate, you kind of do a quick gut check of like, but yeah, but like, guys, there's so many great, amazing stories that ultimately kind of come down to like, somebody got drunk and or high and did something stupid.
Yeah,
and those are always just like, oh, this is so close, but like, at the end of the day, it is just like a thing that somebody did because they weren't thinking, because they were drunk or high.
It's a bad idea. It's like a milquetoast bad idea.
Yeah.
Just like,
And like, there can be amazing versions of that. And some of them do stand out. But the vast majority of them, we were laughing about, because I think all of us saw recently, a man was arrested for being intoxicated and his last name was Sober. And that's funny.
Right.
And the trials and tribulations of the Sober family is a funny idea.
No, and it had like, like an amazing headline that is like, man called Sober arrested for not being sober enough or something like that.
Yeah.
That you're just kind of like, wait, what is happening? Yeah. But
right, that's like, that is a stray detail that you can work into your, like, you know, like, just off-Broadway theatrical, you know, sort of meditation on addiction.
Right.
But like, it feels like a little bit light for fodder for this show.
Whereas if it was something that was like, man called Sober uses subliminal hypnosis to advertise beer at AA meetings, all of a sudden, then that's like, okay, like, no, like now someone, I'm not saying that would be necessarily a great bad idea, but now it's like, okay.
Someone's doing something.
Now someone is making a choice and kind of like doing something. And the fact that it is someone called Sober that is peddling alcohol, that's a funny detail, but it isn't the totality of it.
Or if they like ran a rehab center, not that that would be funny, that would be really dark and bad.
Yeah.
But like, it would just, it would raise the stakes in such a way that I think there would be, I would just feel more responsible bringing that idea to the table than just like guy with an ironic name.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is ironically drunk. Like, yeah. It's just like, yeah, there's nowhere to go.
Funny, right. But like there's, no room to run.
Yeah. But I think that we've all had kind of like the experience of being in this room where we record, waiting for someone to find the idea that they're going to bring to us. And just kind of like spending like 20 minutes with them sitting in a corner, just like cackling with laughter.
Yeah. Right.
And then they look up and they're like, nope, still got nothing. And I think that we can all sympathize with sort of that, like, oh, right. Yeah, you've probably been finding all these like really, really funny things that just aren't that great of a fit yet.
And again, these are all like in terms of just like generating fodder for all of our creative endeavors. Like a lot of these are funny details that can end up in other things. Mm-hmm. But like the ideas that have legs tend to have, as we've been saying, active choices being made, and like stakes that are, you know, transferable to different settings and times and places and stuff.
Right. Like I think that one of my favorite ones that I sort of think of as like, oddly, that's kind of like the platonic ideal for like a bad choice in some ways has been the one that you brought, Zach, the day that we recorded with Mike Schubert about the the police chief that was like using
the cameras
video
and
camera
the court,
to spy, because it was sort of this thing that was like, all right, so like, you know, clear guy made a bad decision, like, you know, right from the title you're immediately like, I know what the bad idea that is being presented is here.
Whereas the one I brought from Amanda, I feel like for that episode, I feel like was more diffuse in its badness. Like it wasn't quite as clear.
And not all of them need to be like quite as clear. I think the fact that like we're doing this show every week, they can't all be platonic ideals. And the place that we went to with like that Amanda took us to was fucking great.
I loved it.
Yeah. And it can be very good to kind of have that challenge of like, you're going to need to think a little bit outside of this box and you're going to need to kind of extrapolate and go a little bit further. Like today, I sort of brought you guys something that I was like, I wish that there was just like a little bit more here.
Right.
Like, I wish that there was like a little bit more follow through on like what is happening with these people that are, you know, putting these things in terms and conditions.
Because that means we ultimately had to focus on the terms and conditions themselves and not like a character.
That's right.
And the struggle, it was real, but eventually we got to Jeremy G. Johns. Okay.
Jeremy J. Johns.
Yeah. And Jeremy J. Johns, that's right.
Wow.
But yeah, and you know, no idea is a perfect bad idea. And so they all have their own interesting peculiarities and things that we have to fill in. And that's part of what makes it fun. Future.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks. See you next week.